You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to, watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Well, hey, there's a major storm hitting financial markets across the globe. And the question is, how do you deal with it? How do you prosper from it? How do you use this as an opportunity rather than to fear it, as people often do with storms? Our good friend Mariusz Skoneski is with us now. Mariusz, great to have you back on. So look, financial markets totally in turmoil. Oh, by the way, if you got a question for Mariusz, myself, shoot us an email, kl@carrielutz.com. So this market, it looks like it's a genuine bear market. It's amazing, you know, how many people out there who investing never really experienced a bear. Yeah, in 08 and 09, but many of them were younger. And the Robin Hooders are learning that the arrows don't just go out, they come back.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a storm out there. Everybody's getting wet, soaked. Maybe there's a few spots of some people under the tree, maybe some in the oil and gas, but everybody else is getting smoked. And so it's a matter of who's going to survive the storm. I mean, the people that own businesses or assets that truly have something to offer to the world, that have intrinsic values, they're going to be okay. But the assets and businesses that don't have any values, some cryptos, they're going to get wiped out for good. So it's kind of like, you know, was your house built on a strong foundation or was your house built on sand?
Hey, and you know, that's the purpose of recessions, of the business cycle, is to wipe out the basically bogus or poorly performing investments, companies, to make way to reallocate the capital and the assets for newer, hopefully more profitable companies. And this is the process of what we call creative destruction.
It's a recessions are a cleansing process.
Yeah.
They're a way to heal the economy as much as it can.
Yeah. And when we don't let them happen, like, which is the purpose of the Federal Reserve, is to stop the tide from going out. Basically, that's one of their functions, to try to prolong or to try to put off economic pain indefinitely. And it just doesn't work, does it?
I mean, think about the insanity that was created up until 2021. Think about this. People were talking about and criticizing the Fed for printing money, creating inflation, and, you know, our fiat money losing value, which is 100% true. They've been doing this for years. So they said, the Fed is doing this, they're destroying our fiat money, we're going to protect ourselves. So we're going to take something that still can buy you something in the store, still has some value, and we're going to turn it into something completely worthless, like crypto, so that we can protect our purchasing power. How completely insane is this? But hey, that's what you get. That's what you get when everything is going up all the time. I feel like I'm living in a twilight zone. Like, honestly, you're telling me, like, you're going to buy this crypto and there's thousands of them out there. It's worthless, has no utility, has no value. I mean, you know, I hate mining stocks, but you know what? Might as well buy a mining stock because they at least have something in the ground.
All in the ground.
You know, something. But crypto, what the hell do you have? So I'm going to take something that's valuable, put it into something that's worthless so that I can protect my purchasing power. This is beyond me.
Well, you know, the madness of the Fed. And they create these bubbles, all central banks, not just the Fed, but they more or less act in concert. Let's face it. They can't really act independently of one another now, because that just creates kind of chaos and will create capital flows, uncontrolled capital flows, all these things. So they all work more or less in concert. trying to hold back the tide, and it just can't be done. I don't want to say that the business cycle is a law of nature, but as our economies have progressed, you know, over the past 400 or 500 years, the birth of Western civilization, or shall we say the furtherance, the acceleration of it, there seems to be this belief that they can just stop recessions and depressions from happening. And they might be able to stop one now, but they only put off the inevitable, right?
Yeah, I mean, we would be much better off if they just viewed the recessions as a good way of healing the economy instead of trying to put it off and never letting it to happen.
Yeah, you know, they always talk about 1921 as the depression that never happened, because economy, stock market, everything was crashing. And what did they do in Washington? They cut spending, put more money in people's hands. Economy turned around. I guess the Federal Reserve probably was also printing money at the time, but they weren't as profligate as they are today. So the question is, how can you judge whether the company is real or whether it's a creature of Wall Street? And assuming they have assets, how do you put values on assets? Intellectual property seems to be the biggest asset in the world now, besides Chinese real estate, right? When you look at the big tech companies, it's all about their IP. They don't really, they have names, they have a brand, but the brand, everything is all about IP. What kind of values do you put on this stuff?
Because, first of all, when I get involved in something, I try to get involved in something that's useful to society, that solves some kind of business, some kind of problem. I mean, that's to begin with, right? And it doesn't necessarily, but you're right, the IPs. So I'm looking at a company right now that doesn't have any revenues at this point, but it has a lot of value in the IP. And so, you know, so I pay attention to that, because if they have a technology that solves a big problem for the world, then revenues are going to come. Or if the company gets in trouble and they can fire sale their IPs, they can fire sale them at what I'm paying for, or more what I'm paying for the stock. So this provides me with a margin of safety. And if this turns out to be, you know, successful and more companies start to use that solution, then it's going to be a huge, huge win for me. But no matter what, I just try to look for companies that provide a solution, are useful to society. And as much as it makes me angry what the Fed is doing, it's just like, I can't control that. All I can control is to get involved in things that are useful. But that, even though I'm trying to be so careful about it, that doesn't mean I don't get soaked. Like right now, I'm getting absolutely destroyed in anything I own. It doesn't matter if it's 10x potential, 100x potential, they have assets, no assets, it doesn't matter. I am getting smoked on every single one.
Yeah, well, that's, remember Warren Buffett, you don't know who's swimming naked till the tide goes out, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so really, but is now, if you were starting with a clean slate, Marius, would you be going into the market now because the value is there? What's your take on it? Or do you just wait till the storm subsides and then march back in?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Torque Resources is an exploration company establishing a portfolio of premier copper gold early stage projects in Chile. Torque's management and technical teams have a strong track record of raising capital, discovery, and monetization of exploration successes. The company's Margarita Copper Gold project is located within the prolific coastal Cordillera Belt in Chile, which hosts some of the world's largest and most profitable copper mines. The Margarita project possesses excellent discovery potential for a major copper discovery due to the strength of the alteration system, large-scale magnetic targets, and the presence of copper oxide mineralization. Drilling is anticipated to begin in Q3 of this year. Torque trades in Canada under TORQ and on the OTC under TRBMF. To learn more, go to torqueresources.com. That's torqueresources.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Nobody ever tells you when the storm stops. So I always, my philosophy is always this. When there is few buyers in the market, there's a lot of sellers, the probability of getting more value for what you're spending is higher. So I'm buying as much as I can. But anybody who is buying, like you just have to realize that just because you buy today, you're not that special. Tomorrow, whatever you buy today might be cheaper. So just prepare yourself mentally, like, okay, I'm buying something for $10. What are you going to do when it goes to seven, six, five? Are you going to, you know, lose your mind, or like prepare yourself mentally? Okay, I'll buy at 10. Maybe I'll leave some room. And if it goes down to seven, I'll buy more. If it goes down to five, I'll buy more. And if you can't do that, if you can't prepare yourself mentally, then just don't buy it. But don't think that just because you buy something at 10, you're so special, like your mother and father told you that you were special when you were born. Well, the market doesn't care about your specialty.
Yes, the market's indifferent to whatever your parents and your family told you growing up, for sure. So yeah, one thing I've learned in the stock market is you think something is so undervalued, so underpriced, it can never go down. And a lot of times you're wrong. It can go still lower. I mean, zero is the ultimate price that any stock can go down to.
But it's interesting that you're saying this, because let's backtrack a little bit about how the mindset changed from 2020, 2021 to now. I remember 2020. Here was the message about Amazon, Zoom, and Netflix, for example. Buy Amazon because everybody's going to be staying at home and ordering online. 2 weeks later, buy Amazon because everybody's going to be staying at home and buying online. Buy Amazon because, like, okay, how many times are you going to tell me this? It's like, you already told me this 50 times. Just because you tell me this more and more times doesn't make Amazon be worth what it is. Buy Netflix because everybody's going to be staying home and watching Netflix. Buy, like, oh my goodness, like how many times? It's like, it's like saying, you know, I'm buying a house for $100,000. And then the seller says, but it has a pool in the back. Okay, I'll give you 110. 5 minutes later, did I tell you it has a pool in the back? You know, it has a pool in the back, right? I'm like, okay, do you want me to pay you $1 million for your house just because you told me it has a pool in the back 50 times? So that was the mindset in 2020, 2021. Now, here's the mindset. You shouldn't buy anything because there's a recession. You shouldn't buy anything because Fed is raising interest rates. Oh, did I tell you the recession's around the corner? It's like, okay, how many freaking times are you going to tell me about this recession? Because you know what? It feels a lot worse hearing about the recession coming, that it will probably be the recession. And just because you tell me that the recession is coming 1,000 times, and everybody on YouTube is going to say the same thing, and everybody else is going to write articles, you know what? It doesn't mean that my house is worth nothing, okay? It doesn't mean that my businesses are worth nothing, okay? Just because there is a recession. And you don't have to tell this to me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I get it. I heard it. Like, you don't think I read the news, right? So, but that's the mindset. Like, the recession is coming, interest rates are going up, do not buy anything. So are we all supposed to turn into sellers and like nobody be the buyer? Like, seriously? But that's the mindset today.
You're so right. And really becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. And what you're describing is how the media effectively tells you what to think. And breaking free of the consensus, experts say, experts surprised, experts encouraged, these so-called, they never tell you who these experts are, just what they're feeling. And this is how the vast majority of the Earth's population, Marius, has been brainwashed over time. And it's not just in the stock markets, it's everything. We don't need to get into politics. I think your observation about the markets and the economy really are just emblematic of the power of media amplified and escalated by big tech.
Yeah, I am so sick and tired of hearing that we're going to have a recession. It's like, why don't we just have it already? So that, you know, we can put it behind and maybe talk about how after recession there is recovery or whatever. But like, I am so sick and tired of hearing the recession, as if like, okay, you know, first of all, as we talked about, like, recessions are a cleansing process. They are needed. They are necessary for the economic cycle. I want them to happen. And like, what is the recession? It's the definition of a recession is a negative GDP growth for 2 quarters. Okay, maybe it's going to be 3 quarters, 4 quarters, whatever. Like hearing about the risk of recession is so much more painful than actually the actual recession. So like bring it on so we can move on. But I am so tired of hearing it.
Yeah. And arguably, we have probably been in a recession for the past couple of quarters because you know that the inflation numbers are phony. So if the real inflation numbers were figured in, once this inflationary cycle started, and it could be as much as double the official numbers, and you just have to go to the supermarket, the gas pump. I mean, I'm planning a trip to New York. I can't believe the price of everything has doubled. Airline tickets up 50, 60%. Hotels doubled or more. Rent-a-cars doubled or more. It is shocking. And so the fact is, if you actually accounted truly, honestly for inflation, probably we're down for 2 or 3 quarters already before the latest. And by the time they get around to telling us we're in this recession, we're probably going to be coming out of it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the economy has to reallocate its resources. We have, like, if you think about it, you talked about some tech companies out there. Like, tech companies have a really hard time finding employees, okay? Finding good employees. Why? Because the smart people are working on worthless crypto projects or anything other than it's complete, utterly useless waste of time. And so, you know, those kinds of businesses have to be wiped out, you know, put in the ground, you know, so they never see the light of day again, so that those people can go to work and do something productive, make our technology better, make things better so that maybe we can reduce prices, you know, work on solving the supply chain disruptions instead of working on some token that, you know, can, I don't know, take your dog to the moon. Who knows? I mean, shit. Like, you know, what a waste of resources. Like, I never thought we would have this even conversation. I made a YouTube video and I'm like, I don't even understand why I need to talk about these tokens. Like, why I need to talk about these crypto worthless things and NFTs. Like you look at the pictures of NFTs. Like, really? You want this? Like, I can draw you a better thing. Like myself, or I can ask my neighbor that has a 5-year-old, we can put something like some kind of punk face together for you. And you can put it on Twitter and raise your status or whatever. Like, seriously, we're spending money on tokens and NFTs, and we have smartest people coding for this. Like, it's insane.
Completely, completely insane. But it makes me think, you know, Klaus Schwab said you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. He might have been talking that you'll own all your property in the form of NFTs, a big nothing. Blockchain's another story. You know, it's what's really disturbing. There was a movie made about the 2008-2009 crash, mortgage-backed securities and all that. And it took place at a mythical bank, Wall Street Bank. Basically, they were valuing mortgage-backed securities at full price. And then this guy who just happened to be a rocket scientist, literally working for Wall Street because they paid more. He was an aeronautical engineer. He tweaked the algorithms and found out that these securities were worthless. Now, my question was, why the hell was this guy who should be designing rocket ships and planes, why is he on Wall Street? There's something wrong with that. And I know everybody needs to go where they get paid the most, but this is a guy, there aren't enough engineers as it is. They need more. They're constantly importing them from other countries. And here we are paying this guy to go to Wall Street to figure out that they're broke. I mean, there's something wrong with this, Marius.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the US, you know, we tell people to get MBAs, become lawyers. You know, like, we need more MBAs. In other countries like India or China, they study chemistry, they study physics, they study engineering. You know, we don't push our people into these fields. We, outside of the fact that we tell them that, you know, liberal arts degrees are just as good as anything else, And then we tell them to get an MBA, Master of Business Administration. What the hell are you going to administer? You don't know anything. You don't have any skills. And you're going to have a Master in Business Administration? Like, how crazy is this? Or become a lawyer so that you can, you know, fight each other and extract value from each other. How about create some value? How about create some engineers, you know, some chemists that can like solve real problems instead of extracting value from society, you know, and then trying to calculate how to move paper from one room to another and call it, you know, mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah. And, you know, this is what you call malinvestment, over-financialization, all these things. So I think we covered a number of valuable points here. Marius, people want to find out more about you, connect with you on the web. How do you do that?
Just take my name into YouTube, find my YouTube channel. If you have the courage to follow me today, you know, that's probably a good place. If not, just, you know, wait until the storm is over.
All right. We'll have a link to your YouTube channel in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, make sure you sign up for your free newsletter. Marius, a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Cary Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.